We started to study the word brightness yesterday. And we looked at the three, I think, Isaiah 60, 19, Ezekiel 1:27, and then we didn't do Daniel, so go to Daniel 12. Hey.
Hey. You're my spot.
You're making your wife move again.
Yeah. She surrenders her comfortable place.
Daniel 12. Daniel 12 is a description of the end, or the end of time. And it's in verse 1, "In that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And here shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." And that's that word nogah, N-O-G-A-H phonetically, for brightness. And then 2 Thessalonians is another place, and it sort of refers to the same thing that Daniel just said.
Were you talking about the word shine just now?
No, brightness. No, 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Everybody there? "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember that coming is the word parousa. And it can either be translated as coming or presence. For us, it's the presence. "And by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first," or apostasy first, "and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one," is what it actually says, "be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming," or the brightness of his presence. So this is all about who is the Antichrist. And as you know, I believe that each man is the instead of Christ, or the Antichrist, you and I, and all men. He is only destroyed by the brightness of the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean to us? Well, first of all, do you agree with, or do you understand what this is about? I mean, we said this before, but it says that don't let anybody tell you that the day of Christ is at hand. That's what I've been saying for 40 years. Because I believe that the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. And it's you and I. We are the anti or instead of Christ. And he's only destroyed by repentance. And then when Christ is totally revealed in us and we in him, then this, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence. And then even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with power and signs and wonders. Now this is as big as it gets in terms of our understanding. Why doesn't he just destroy the evil one with the brightness of his presence? Boom. He could do that with a snap of his finger. He doesn't do it that way because we are to be exercised in the temptations or tribulations of Christ in the same way he was. We are they that continue with him in his temptation. So that life within us is tested in us in the same way it was tested in Christ. And that the only response then to the preaching of the cross is repentance. And finally, when the repentance is complete, then that evil one is destroyed by the brightness of his presence.
It's while the brightness destroys something, this particular kind of
right.
Presence it's of God.
What makes manifest is light.
Light is interesting.
And the light of him in us, when this evil one is repented of, and we have this incredible picture spoken of in Daniel and spoken of here. And Daniel says that the believers will be shine as the brightness of the sevens. But it's the same thing as he saw the same thing here that Paul saw.
Paul quotes that too someplace. He says, Paul quotes that somewhere else where he says we'll be like stars.
Yeah.
Something that's some kind of an idea.
All right,
Is not this the same as just self, the fallen man? We put the name Antichrist on him, but it's no different than the fallen man, the self.
It's a humongous difference. Because modern Christianity is waiting for the temple to be rebuilt and the Antichrist go sit in that temple.
The Antichrist in an individual person.
Yeah. That's what the church as a whole believes today and has for centuries. That the Antichrist is an individual instead of just the man.
Okay, but in our conversation, not them, is it any different than self? All itself does seeking for itself. That's the
well, it's different in that this is much stronger than just seeing there's some kind of battle with self. This is defining self with great precision. He's the son of perdition, the man of sin. And so the only thing that God wants from us is that kind of repentance that releases this mystery so that it that he in you is destroyed by the brightness of his presence. But the brightness of his presence comes only with our repentance. We go deeper and deeper and deeper. The way gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. Then shall that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above God and above all that is worshipped. You know, what does it say? All that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God.
Yeah, just as we're talking, I was seeing a little bit of the difference is the Antichrist is the one that thinks he is Christ, or self is just out to get what he can, where it can.
Well, the instead of Christ is you. We call it self, but as I've talked about many, many times, we as individual, we've never been isolated individuals. We've always been a vessel for deity. And that vessel for deity is, we've all, the human race has always been this instead of Christ after the fall. I mean, we give names to people. You're Gary and Jeff and the rest of us. But you've never existed as an individual entity. You've been, and all of us have been seduced into believing that we were individual entities and that we had a life and a future and a purpose. But the men always walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. There's no way you can do anything different. So to define who the Antichrist is an order of magnitude above just thinking the battle is with self. Now it's not just a self that you're battling. It's the man of sin, the son of perdition. And the only way he's destroyed is by cutting the tentacles of the joining, if you will, to his power, or cutting off the head of the snake in the myth. But it had to be the right snake, otherwise it just kept growing back again. So in us, the right snake is the very essence of who we are. Nothing good can come of it from God's standpoint.
Well, the preaching of the cross is the only
right, and that's the only reading the Bible, isn't it? It's the preaching of the cross is the power of God to destroy that evil one, or to weaken that evil one, and to cause repentance to happen, so that he then is destroyed with the brightness his presence when he's fully revealed in us and we are revealed in him. But it's a depth of repentance that we can't hardly even dream of. But go back to this. I mean, this is, you can't just let this one go by. The idea that I believe the Bible teaches that we've never been an individual self. We've always been a vessel for deity. That's why we were created. The Selim. But after the fall, the Selim was filled with the evil one. That's why Christ called us children of Satan. You know, otherwise, deep inside you, you just continue to try to do better. And, you know, it's always going to be self in the picture. Does anybody believe that?
Yeah. I was thinking about the light is when the light comes into a place that's dark, it's not really a big struggle between the light and the darkness. It's just right. Bam. You know, it's just weird. You know, when you think about this illustration that he's using, this brightness, you know, it's if you let it in through repentance,
and it's there.
It does all the work. There's not a big struggle after that. It's boom.
Right. We start out repenting for things we've done, mistakes we've made, and people we've harmed, and all that. But the final repentance is we repent of self itself. That's what the fullness of the preaching of the cross produces, is that it's repentance not to be repented of. It's the fullness of the recognition who you are. You are a vessel, and have been since your birth, a vessel for the evil one. Nothing else.
Until you're born again.
Well, then the battle is enjoined.
And in that born again position, you see who you really are. You truly...
Well, you don't see it quick.
You
see
it.
Yeah, but that's when you know that Christ is in you, but you all better you know that you are in Christ. That's what's necessary in order for the repentance to be complete. There's no more room for you anywhere.
So all available in this lifetime.
What?
All can take place in this lifetime.
Amen. But it's the only power. The only is repentance. That's why we've talked about it many times. But the number of times the word repentance is used in the New Testament, it's used more than almost any other word. Because it is the key to releasing this mystery of God, which shall destroy the evil one with the brightness of His presence. It's no more going up and down, you know. It's again, this word that I love, it's repentance not to be repented of. Because it's the one that buries you finally, not just, you know, okay, I'm sitting here and I says I'm in the mercy seat, so that means I'm on the mercy seat. It's just... This is the essence of what I've taught for 40 years. Anybody?
I was wanting to know what the original brightness was we started with. Was it in...
Meaning this... Well, we started studying... We started studying Oracle. Then we studied salt, and then we are beginning to study light, and then the intensity of the light is brightness.
And, I mean, was it off of a particular scripture, the oracle thing? Was all,
well, all of them. But saying what my position is, they're all saying the same thing, the end of us and the...
Oh, okay.
That's what, this is why this is pre-Passover, because at that cross, you died, period. And the one that has been masquerading as you is the evil one, so the evil one can't be fixed, but his control in us is so complete that we have to see all of the entanglements and all of the self-justifications that we use to keep, the evil one uses, to keep us in the picture. And they're legion. But this is why we're doing this right now, because Passover is that end of that's your death at Christ's death. Well, and who have I been all these years? Been the one that had the power to raise himself from his deadly head wound. It's not you becoming something or you getting something, it's you being possessed. It's not you understanding something, it's a replacement. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. I'm gone. This is the fundamental revelation of Passover. And the counting of the Omer is to ensure that that evil one is dead, so the manifestation of Christ in you can be revealed when you no longer think there's anything good about you. And that's why the counting of the Omer is coming out of the 49 gates of impurity. And every one of those 49 gates is something that you think is good and right and has a purpose.
So you're saying that man is temporal, that all these things, oracle, salt, light,
they all are about eternity.
Are all eternal.
Well, they are about eternity.
But that's the
connection. That's why we've been studying it for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Because you've got to get rid of this idea that you're getting something or you're seeing something, or you're not. Because you'll always move it into something that will keep you alive. And this is why I talked about what does life look like after Passover, that I wanted to have the theme of this Passover. What it looks like is a totally different place than you thought it looked like all your life. After Passover, it has to be faith alone by which you live. No more leaning on your own arm of understanding in anything. And then the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a command. But can you see the relationship to all this, to why we're getting ready for Passover? And what does life look like after the cross?
And yeah, you were talking about in Christ and
Christ in you.
Right? Christ in you, and that parallel thing is, as you were talking, I was thinking of the crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto you.
Amen.
Both those somehow fit together.
Amen.
To say the same thing.
There's nothing about the world that is any longer attractive, so you give breath to nothing else in the world, which means that to give breath to is the verb form of the love of the word for agape. It's agapeo. So you no longer give importance to anything in the world. Because if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Who is the love of the Father? Jesus Christ. He's hidden, and you put him back in prison because you're giving breath to things in the world. And then you put him back into prison in the dark dungeon within you as the temple. And the only way that he is released again is repentance. Until finally you find a place of repentance not to be repented of. Because you've seen the idiocy of your entire life. In the entire life of the human race. And so nothing can possibly be attractive to you. In comparison, well, it's that's even not strong enough. You can compare and still think, you know, well, I love this better. But no, this is everything we can conceive of with our senses is but a puff of smoke. Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Especially our ideas about God, because our mind is the instead of Christ, so he'll always try to keep your mind, keep you in the picture. This is Passover. Anybody else?
Cool.
Jerry, you're musing.
I'm done.
You're done musing?
Yeah.
Amen? Can you amen everything that was said this morning? That's the reason for that week.
Well, it always comes down to the same thing. What is the instigator of repentance? Is it the brightness of his presence that allows you to see and repent? Or do you repent and then you see the brightness of his presence?
Well, again, this is... Maybe which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, it goes on forever.
The problem is, while you're trying to figure that out,
you're here.
You know, real life is passing you by. In other words, you have to jump into repentance, no matter which came first, because that's the only place where real life is. So the idea of you might want to mull it over later, but while it's right in front of you, you have to choose repentance and let God figure it out for you later, because that's the only place to go. And that just occurred to me, like sitting around mulling over what's the mm-hmm. Should I go through this door? Is this the door? How did this door come to be? You're just going to go through the door if there's this big monster coming. Which is you.
Yeah, when you see yourself, that question goes away. It becomes a meaningless argument or discussion about words.
I think, we would like a definite point of this is how you repent, but I think God, everywhere.
If we had one, we wouldn't do it right.
Saul got knocked off his horse, and the brightness of the presence of Jesus Christ caused repentance.
But we could speculate that, he could have just been stubborn and not repented. That's a possibility.
No.
No, you couldn't speculate that. I mean, I'm sure there.
The presence of God is what it is. It dispels darkness.
It destroys you.
Darkness, me, same thing. Because I see clearly who he is.
No, he sees clearly. You're gone.
Okay, I vaporize whatever the...
That's what repentance, not to be repented of, means. That's why we study the in Christ position for so long lately. To see that there's no room for you. You're not there. And so all the discussions about, well, what do I do next, become meaningless, because it's all, you do nothing except what you see the Father do. All is faith. But when you put faith on your own, saying, well, I'm doing this, I don't know how to say it except it's childish. It's you're gone. You're gone. Gary doesn't exist any longer.
That's what that sentence just declared.
But that has as its component the mind of Christ. And you don't like this, but the mind of Christ has nothing to do with time. Not what I'm going to do next, not what I did last yesterday. It's only the instantaneous boom, boom, boom. What you see, you do. There's no talk about it. There's no thinking about it. It's just being instead of trying to be.
Yeah.
And there's no room for anything in that place except faith. And faith isn't you thinking of something and then thinking by your faith you're going to get what it's going to be. That's not faith.
I agree.
Faith says, I have no idea where my next meal is coming from. I have no idea what I'm going to be thinking or doing next. I have, except I'm not going to be, I'm seeing the stupidity of this thing we call our mind. It's just crap.
Well, the thing that I think about when we're talking about stuff like this is Peter and Paul both, if they had tried to keep themselves in the picture, Peter denied Christ three times. And Peter didn't want to keep Peter in the picture. You know, Paul persecuted the church. Mm-hmm. He couldn't possibly keep Paul in the picture in the way that, you know, we think about ourselves. He had to continually be, you know, walking away from who he knew himself to be all of his life, because that Paul was completely screwed up, you know, yeah. And we're the same way. So whenever you come back in and yeah, see yourself in the picture, you want to throw up, you know.
And
if you don't, maybe you've forgotten about, you know.
You have to remember, you know, that's why the walking, each second is repentance from self. Each microsecond is a repentance from self. It's the certainty that I'm gone, and that's what Passover celebrates. But then this evil one is constantly trying to get himself back in the picture. And so that's why you have to know whatever's not of faith is sin. Well, what is, certainly there's nothing that my mind can produce that's of faith. All my mind can do is think up something and then say, well, I want faith to accomplish it. Well, that's upside down. But it's remember these positions, the little child, the adolescent, the young adult, and then the father. The little child is in that position. He's running around praying that his work will be successful or blah, blah, blah. But then he sees the end of it and he's baptized, and then he runs around in the wilderness, hopefully not 40 years, but it might be, till he rids himself of anything, because the wilderness is a place of no options. And you're forced into faith to even exist. But again, it's the unlearning of everything instead of learning something, because that's why Israel, there were really two Passovers. The first Passover was coming out of the world, but then boom, what did they do? They got taken away by God into Babylon. And what is Babylon worship? The only thing that their only God is cause and effect. So they had to go to Babylon and have another Passover to come back. I'm talking, and that happened for us, that we don't have to do that. Except we have to do it in seeing. So anything that you're doing, this cause and effect, has to be repented of. That is the religion of Babylon. You know, I mean, I don't care if we're the only ones in the universe that are preaching this. Anybody else? Let's get ready for Passover. The only way to get ready ourselves for Passover is by total individual abandonment of self. And we can celebrate this Passover.
Amen.
That the evil one would be destroyed by the brightness of his presence in us, because now it's not Christ in us alone, we are in him. There's no place left for you. All right, take it, big guy.